Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're here to continue our expectations series today, joined by Sam Njoku. Sam, how you doing?
Feeling pretty good. How about yourself?
Always a pleasure to talk football with you, Sam. And we're talking about a couple of players that I think each of them will have a significant impact on the 2025 Ravens, and that's Tylan Wallace and LaJonte Wester. You're the only person in this entire series who gets two players on one side of the ball. It's just we had a 31-29 mix of players here. So for what that's worth, that's you today.
That was on purpose.
You got a couple of receivers is good. That's always fun. Let's start talking about LaJonte Wester, who came to the Ravens as a sixth-round pick, right? Yeah, sixth-round pick. Yeah. Or was it the end of the fifth? Whichever it was. Doesn't really matter. But, round six, pick 203. Smaller guy, short-armed at 29 3/4, ran a 4.46, played 4 years at Florida Atlantic before he went on for his last year at Colorado. If you look at his testing, there really isn't anything but speed that's a plus. But if you look at how he played with Shedeur Sanders last year, I think he did some very good things in terms of finding space and making some plays, frankly, on some 50-50 balls that Shedeur threw off, including the big one early in the year against, what was it, Oregon State or Oregon, whichever it was, that tied the game at the end of the game.
Yeah, the Oregon State play was the one that I saw. He first caught my eye with that one. And, yeah, he's a tiny guy. Yeah, and he reminds me of myself, so I always liked that small frame receiver. I always dreamed of playing in the NFL. Obviously, I didn't have the size, but when I see a small receiver like that who's, has the fluidity in his route running, that intrigues me as well. Something to take a good look at, and I'm glad the Ravens picked him up in the sixth round. So, they see him as more of a, I'm sure he'll be playing returner for the Ravens. But all in all, I think that this is a good high ceiling guy that could potentially be a big play guy for them down the road.
Yeah, I like it. I think, if you really want to talk ceiling, maybe Jermaine Lewis is the top ceiling. He certainly brings a lot of those characteristics to the field. A smaller guy, very explosive, does some good things in the punt return game that have been terrific results at the college level. He had 16.0 yards per return the last two seasons with two touchdowns and zero muffs. His first three college seasons, he had five punt returns with zero TDs. He had five punt return muffs or fumbles in his first three college seasons. I got to get that correct, not five returns. And this last year, broke out as a receiver with 10.1 yards per target. A lot of people say that's Shedeur Sanders throwing to him. Shedeur Sanders had a passer rating, and the entire Colorado QB set were at 115.1 in aggregate, and the passer rating throwing to LaJonte Wester was 136.0. So he beat the spread in terms of being effective. It wasn't all certainly Shedeur. He was helping Shedeur as well.
Yeah, he definitely showed out in the opportunities that he received. Some of that is, of course, the Colorado has some big time receivers as well to maybe move the defense away from targeting him. But I think all in all, he was a pretty decent receiver coming out of college, especially his last year at Colorado. That makes me intrigued about his possibility as a receiver as well. Obviously, the foundation is laid with Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman and also DeAndre Hopkins. But I can see there being situations where they might move him because of his speed to that receiver position, and maybe a four wide receiver set or three receiver set doing a deep third and long and try and get something to go with him.
Yeah, there's certainly lots of ways he could be used. My gut tells me he's not going to be running a ton of routes down the field, but I like him in terms of his ability to drag trailing coverage across the field and present himself for Lamar. I think he's one of the guys who, Flowers does that exceptionally well. I think Bateman, being a good route runner, gets the separation for that. It's not like the Ravens don't have multiple people who can do it. But the other thing about this offense, I'm really expecting it to be really fresh legs based, that they're gonna do lots of substitution. And I would like every active skill position player to be a guy who's getting touches on offense, since that's the way they typically do it. The only place they haven't done that way the last couple of years is at RB3, where they had almost no RB3 touches in 2024. But I think the wide receivers down to the last man had opportunities that included some guys like Sims and Miller, who came in late and, you know, had some contributions even in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think the Ravens definitely do a better job than most in making sure that all of their guys get an opportunity to play. And that's why I really wanted them to focus on speed in this draft, because I think that they lack speed in certain aspects. Getting more guys that can, you know, create some matchup problems, get the defense going back a bit, not really confined to the middle of that offense, to where Derrick Henry can get some opportunities to run the football. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see how they move. Again, a guy like Tez Walker coming back for a second season, yeah. You mentioned Sims and all of that. So I think that the Ravens do a very good job of getting these guys involved, and we'll see what happens. RB3, obviously, I think last year it was really just Derrick Henry and some small spats of Keaton Mitchell and Justice Hill. But for the most part, it was a two running back set for the Ravens for most of the year. But wide receiver, not the case. So very intrigued to see how this offense performs next year.
Yep. He's certainly it's a question I'm going to want to ask Monken at some point this summer, at least I hope, is that, you know, the fresh legs basis of the offense, are they really trying to derive an advantage in terms of being less tired than the opponents? Because it seems like that's what they're trying to do. You know, they oftentimes have had Zayon on first and third down, and they take him out on second down. And, you know, that's very discouraging for a defense, particularly on a long drive where, you know, those cornerbacks are having to chase routes all day long, and your top wide receiver is only playing 65% of the snaps. That's a really big advantage.
This is a really good question to ask. I definitely want to know if that's actually the case, because if it is, pretty smart.
Yeah, it's certainly good stuff, and it's something that Monken, coming from the college ranks and at a place like Georgia, where they had tons of receiving options, including multiple tight ends and tons of receiving threats, certainly would have been something that he could have taken advantage of. Want to toss in a couple other Wester stats here, because I think these are interesting. His yards per route run is just in the 38th percentile, nothing special. So there were other guys getting the football at Colorado. That shows up in his routes per target as well, which is in the 14th percentile, not high. He's in the 88th percentile of yak per reception at 7.1 yards. Now, that's often true of guys who play a gadget role. That's certainly Wester to a degree, getting the ball behind the line of scrimmage, having some red yards in that yak, meaning that those are yards where he gets back to the line of scrimmage, but they count as yak. And you can sometimes see that in a running back, that they'll have more yards after the catch than they have receiving yards in a season, because they're catching the ball on average behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, it's something that I think could work to the Ravens' advantage, because it's very similar to what they have Zay Flowers do down here. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously in a more, you know, volume base with Zay Flowers. But yeah, I think this is an opportunity. Again, I don't want to harp too much on Wester because he is a rookie, and I try not to put too much pressure on rookies. But he definitely has a skill set that is very enticing for the Ravens starting off, not like Tez Walker, where he got his fill maybe later on in the season with the Giants with that first touchdown. I think this could be a case where he sees a lot more snaps than maybe you would typically see from a sixth rounder.
Yeah, he fills a need for sure, because they have Keaton Mitchell that could kind of put in one of that flanker role, a guy who's motion, who threatens the horizontal space on the field with jet action, jet motion, you know, occasional pitch, maybe orbiting occasionally. But the thing about Flowers that I really have not liked when they've done it a lot is excessive use of him for gadgetry. I think you actually lose a very important weapon. The biggest thing Zay Flowers brings you that no other Ravens receiver brings you is the ability to basically plant his foot in the ground and be incredibly sudden between level two and level three. And if you don't let him get to the top of the stem because you have him behind the line of scrimmage, yeah, he's still elusive. You can get some value out of that. But I really don't like that use of him. And I extremely, I do not like him running the football, even though he's been somewhat effective at it, including that touchdown he had against the Chargers 2 years ago. Because it's additional beating. He really doesn't need to take. The best use of Flowers is basically draw off that safety, because a single corner can't deal with him. And then that gives you all your tight ends, every other wide receiver, Derrick Henry, Justice Hill on a late release, all of your things that extend a play. They have a better chance to work if Zay Flowers is taking that safety out of the equation.
Man, I'm glad you said that. That is something that has been on my mind for the last 2 years for Zay Flowers. Yeah, he has the ability to make you miss if you know, those screen plays or those end around plays where he's really running behind the quarterback to get things going. But yeah, get this guy in the second level of the defense. That's where he's most dangerous. That's where teams are most afraid of. Get him going that way. Yeah, use a guy like Wester. Use a guy like Tez Walker. Maybe even a guy like Tylan Wallace to get, you know, things going that way if you want to go that direction, which this offense is tailored to make those gadget plays work oftentimes. But, yeah, Zay Flowers, get him in second level of that defense. Get him to plant his foot. Hit that post route. Hit that corner route. Maybe even a drag route here or there. Get him in those positions because that's where he is most dangerous.
By the way, that was Baylor, that catch he had early in the season. I've got it in my notes here. I'd forgotten exactly who it was.
Oh, it was Baylor. You're right.
Yeah. I do expect one of the things that'll really work in LaJonte's favor is because I expect him to have all the return duties, and we'll see at camp who's returning kicks and whatnot, but I expect if he can get under the football, if he can catch the football, and if he can explode out of his stance, he doesn't have to do all those things well. But he has to do the first two things well. Those are really the important ones for not muffing the ball and not creating yardage disadvantages because you don't catch the football on a punt. If he can do those first two things, even if he's a less than what he was in college return man in terms of ability to beat people, I think the job is his. It's his to lose. And once he's active on a every week basis, they're going to find ways to fold him into the offense. It's harder for a player like Tez Walker, who is more of a deep threat and has a special teams role, may even be bigger this year. But if he's not, if the Ravens do not absolutely need his special teams role, he's a candidate to be inactive. And so Ravens have to have a certain number of those. They're walking wounded will force certain players to play. But and the presence of Carson Vinson on the roster will force that will constrict their number of inactives because I expect him to be inactive pretty much the whole season. But it's not clear to me that it's going to be an automatic activation for Walker, but it is clear to me if he wins the punt return job that LaJonte Walker is an automatic activation. And I think that means targets in the passing game as well.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned that. I agree completely. I don't think he's a candidate to be inactive. I think again, he's probably going to win the punt return job. He just is that explosive. Not only is he explosive, but he is very fluid in his motion. It just feels like he's a football player. If he was 2 or 3 inches taller, he'd be taken way earlier than where he was. And I think that's just the way it is with the way he plays. So we'll see how he translates year two. I always think of year two as the year where those small guys kind of beef up and we'll see what type of football player he becomes. But definitely in year one, he has the movement to make himself very dangerous in this kick return game, the punt return as well. I know John Harbaugh loves special teams. We say that all the time, but I think he's very excited to get somebody that he knows he can count on that can be explosive if all the blocking works and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think that he's going to be a guy that's going to be on the field more often than not, and not just in special teams. He's going to get opportunities to get some targets.
Okay. All right, last year, of course, Deontay Hardy brought in to fill basically this exact same role, a gadget role on offense, you know, a versatile receiving role, we'll call it, but primarily brought in to be a punt returner, and that did not work out. Didn't work out because of injuries, and then there was weird language used towards the end of the year. So they brought in Sims, they brought in other players to return the football, including Deontay Johnson, and you're wondering what's wrong with Deontay Hardy that he's not back on the field. And they use language like he's got to get his mind in the right place to be ready to play football kind of thing. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I cannot construct anything good out of that. It's borderline salty language to be used about a particular player. And I think cleaning the slate here, just wiping the windshield here and getting rid of players like Deontay Johnson, Deontay Hardy, is really going to play well for this team. And it's a good fresh start for the return room. Even Tylan Wallace, who we'll talk about in a moment, I see him as a distant second in any competition for this job. Sure, he could do it, but I don't think he's the I think he's had his chance. He can help the Ravens in a lot of other ways, but I just think he's had his chance as a return man.
Yeah, I agree. I think, again, Wester is the, I don't want to say the chosen one, but it's definitely seems like they brought him in specifically to be the return guy for this team. They like his skill set. They like what he brings to the table. And I don't blame him. I just think that he just has what it takes. You got to keep him clean because, again, 170, sub 170-pound guy, that's building for some trouble with these big hits that opposing defenses can give you. But he definitely has the explosion and the vision to be a very scary returner. If Harbaugh and company believed that it was the returner that was keeping this special teams from being what it used to be, then he has a chance to make some big plays for them this year.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I don't see him as a guy who's covering kicks at any point, so I think he'll be a wide receiver slash punt returner. Might do kickoffs as well. This kickoff return rules, really interesting. It's going to magnify the impact of special teams to have the change go out to the 35-yard line. So your return guys are going to have to be as good as they can possibly be, but your coverage guys are going to have to be a lot better than they used to be because you don't have the option, at least not a in-the-money option as often, to just kick the ball in the end zone and give the opposition the ball at the 35. I don't think that'll be seen as a good option. And you just compare that to out of bounds is the 40, but kicking in the end zone is the 35. You're getting pretty tight on space there.
Yeah, depending on the time in the game, you might be better off just kicking the ball to the offsides if you don't have a kicker that can actually punt it out of bounds. So that's another thing to think about. But yeah, you're right. Covering kicks is going to be monumentally important. I think that's why the Ravens are probably thinking, you know, special teams more often than not, especially in the later rounds of this draft. I think you're right. I don't think Wester is going to be a coverage kicker. I don't think that he has that skill set or the size to be that guy, I don't think. But yeah, it's going to be vastly important. As much as we're talking about returning the kick, stopping the opposing team from returning kicks is going to be equally as important. So going to be an interesting season for sure.
All right, let's talk about what the feature of this show is. What's a good season for LaJonte Wester look like? And you can define that any way you like. I've told people how I define it. I'll mention it again in a minute. But let's start with you. In terms of a good season, what does that look like for LaJonte Wester?
I just think solidifying the position. I think the Ravens have tried very hard throughout the years to find a kick returner slash punt returner to be the guy, just being the guy and having the confidence. He doesn't have to score a touchdown this year. He can get close, just moving the ball down, making good decisions when it comes to returning kicks. Being that guy will be enough for a one-year guy to be considered a good season, especially given his size and his pedigree, where he came from. I think that will be very good for me. If he just, you know, a solid guy, top half, a top even 66% of the league when it comes to returns, fine by me, but not making the big mistake and being a solid piece, playing all 17 regular season games as the kick returner slash punt returner for this Ravens squad, for me, good season.
So anytime we put a 17 game requirement on somebody, I immediately start shaking my head about, you know, that's really unfair for us to expect that. We hope for it. I don't know if it's in the 60th percentile for a player like Wester, but we'll see how that works out. I'll just read mine directly because it's very similar to yours. Takes a kick return slash punt return roles and provides value in each, the top half of the league, avoids fumbles, creates both value with the ball and valuable misdirection for the Ravens' run game. He's not a blocker, but he can provide misdirection. Integrated offensively by Monken as a player who threatens space with no particular expectations on exact results. So I had a kind of an over-under that I think he might get about 28 targets this year, maybe target a third per game, target and a half per game, somewhere in that range might be reasonable. that might even be too high, but it could be more. I mean, it could be they all of a sudden they find, hey, we got a weapon here. We want to use him. And, you know, he's getting more jet tosses and he's getting more wide receiver screens and whatnot. And we see a space creating extension of the run game. It could be more, but anyway, that's my good season for Lejonte.
Not bad. I don't have any problems with it. You want to get to the great?
Let's go. What's a great season?
Great season to me. You're scoring touchdowns. Now you're getting, you don't have to score every game. Obviously that's a bit crazy, but a 3 touchdowns in both kick and punt return, 2 to 3, I think would be a great season. But not only that, being a contributor in the offense as a receiver, I think would be great. Getting some gadget plays in. Not only that, being used fairly, I want to say as frequent as the Chiefs have with Xavier Worthy, but he does remind me of Xavier Worthy as far as size goes. So getting him in the open field a little bit, getting him to really scare those safeties would be great, because the Ravens have a guy like that in Zay Flowers. But when I'm talking about getting the third level of that defense, getting in the back end with the safeties immediately, being that guy will be huge for him. Doesn't have to be a 1,000-yard guy, but 300 to 400 yards and just having a couple of touchdowns as a receiver and being that threat for the offense in certain situations would give you a great season, especially for year one.
He'd have to get a lot of targets to get up to 300 or 400 yards. So here's my great season. Excels as both a kick and punt returner, and the Ravens stay ahead of the curve in terms of maximizing the value within the new kickoff rules, the 35-yard touchbacks we talked about earlier. He plays about 20% of the offensive snaps. That might be a tad high as part of an offense that consistently churns eligible receivers. Zay Flowers has a higher ADOT. So I'm putting this on Wester that Zay Flowers needs to have a higher ADOT because Wester is taking some of that gadget load off his plate. His per target productivity also increase for Flowers if that were to happen. Monken and Lamar find a way to scheme him into higher value results on offense. Now we're talking Wester again. He becomes an extended play threat with trust from Lamar. Yards per target of 8.0 or more, primarily in a gadget role. Let me say this. If he could get 8.0 yards per target in a gadget role where a fair amount of his responsibilities are essentially an extension of the run game, you know, catching the ball at -5, trying to get it out to +5 or +6, you know, being a good result on some of those plays, you know, that just doesn't lend itself to high yards per target results. So for him to get 8.0, he's going to get some real opportunities. He's going to get some real opportunities dragging a tired cornerback across the field, which I just love the thought of, and presenting himself to Lamar in a way that makes it easy for him to make plays. So I'm very optimistic about Wester's season, but that's my great year.
I'm glad you're on the same page with him. I'm very excited about the possibility. Obviously, he has to show up in training camp and do what he needs to do. But, man, I think that he has a skill set that the Ravens have lacked since they lost Hollywood Brown. I know anytime you think of a small receiver with speed, you automatically push towards that side of the ball.
If you're looking for a better way to unwind, focus, or even get a good night's sleep, listen up. Let me tell you about Mood, the online cannabis company that's changing the game when it comes to functional gummies. They've crafted a whole line of federally legal THC blends designed to help with everything from stress to sleep to mental clarity and even some spicier needs if you're into that. Now, what makes Mood different? They go beyond just THC. They pair it with herbs and adaptogens to create targeted effects that you won't find in any other dispensary. And every gummy is made with pesticide-free, small-farm American cannabis, so you're getting quality that you can trust. I've tried their sleep gummies, and let me tell you, takes about 15 minutes, and I'm out cold, no grogginess, no weird side effects, getting some of the best sleep I've gotten in my life when I take one of these gummies. And if you need a mood boost, there are Epic Euphoria gummies, game changers. And right now, Mood is giving listeners 20% off their first order by using the promo code RAVENS at checkout. So head on over to mood.com, find the perfect gummy for whatever life throws your way, and don't forget to use the promo code RAVENS to save 20%.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
They've really lacked a true deep threat. They have receivers that can get the ball to the safety, you know, but they don't really have that speed guy that is really scaring the defense going into pushing their corners three levels back. So I think that Wester has an opportunity. It's going to be tough because of his size and because of, you know, he's a rookie and they have some pretty solidified position receivers there, but he has a good opportunity to be a gadget role player for them, and that could be exciting if you're a Ravens fan.
Yeah. All right. I'm already there. Let's move on and talk about Tylan Wallace, who's the other wide receiver we get to spend some time on today. He signed a 1-year contract for $2.1 million this offseason. That's got void years that take it through 2029. There's other people with void years, including DeAndre Hopkins, for example, has void years through that same period through 2029. In the case of Hopkins, I think there's no reasonable expectation that he's going to be kept for more than 1 year. It might happen, but it's not. It would be my expectation. I think he's a 1-year guy, and they move on. They draft a receiver. They promote a player like Walker next year. But it's just far from a given that, or far from even likely that DeAndre Hopkins would be here a second year. In the case of Wallace, I think my read on the situation is the Ravens are likely to want to keep him as a survivor. He's a very multifaceted contributor, and I thought they would do that with Malik Harrison. It didn't work out. They've certainly done it with Patrick Ricard in terms of the player who got all of the qualified veteran money this year. It's money you're allowed to pay to somebody that doesn't count against your cap. And they gave Wallace a deal that was over vet minimum, which is nice. He certainly deserves it. I actually thought he was an outstanding candidate for that as well. I thought they might split that money, but in whatever, they did right by Wallace. They gave him some money and above minimum, and they got both players and the two very important players signed.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, keeping Tylan Wallace is it's a good decision. I think people may harp on the fact that his, you know, his skill set isn't extraordinary. He doesn't have the athleticism that a lot of these other guys have, but I think he's a great football player. He run blocks very well. And we talk about how Todd Monken loves to rotate their receivers to get, you know, new guys, fresh legs in there. And he's a guy that you could bring in opposite another receiver like Zay Flowers and not really miss a beat because, one, he's going to be phenomenal on those run plays, especially those on the outside of the tackle. He's going to be a guy that can not be afraid to get into the middle of that defense and catch a ball or be that. We saw him perform well when taking those screens in certain situations. So he's a guy that can pretty much do it all. Very versatile guy. Doesn't do anything extraordinarily well, but he does the little things very well, and that's why he finds himself on this roster year after year.
It's definitely, the results are greater than probably what I think that most Ravens fans think about him as a football player. I mean, he's one of the very best run blockers in the entire National Football League. If you look at the PFF grading of all wide receivers, he finished fourth among 138 wide receivers who had at least 100 run blocking snaps. And you look at how the season played out. He didn't have a whole lot of snaps early in the season. All of a sudden, they backloaded his schedule. He had 210 of his 343 snaps, so almost two-thirds, came in week 13 or later. So when the Ravens really needed him, so he's getting two-thirds of his snaps in the final, we'll call it one-third of the season, including the playoffs. And he was outstanding. I mean, the Pittsburgh game, I think of the reception he had on second and 19 or whatever it was, where he caught the ball for 21 yards, where the Ravens ended up on that drive two plays later, slamming the door on the Steelers, going up 28-7 on the 44-yard run by Henry. But they had that drive is just, it's one of the thing of beauty, even though it's a fast drive and I like long drives. Sack for minus 9, throw to Wallace for 21, where he caught it 5 yards short of the stick and pulled through traffic to get to the first down marker. Then a 15-yard run, pitch run to Sims. So it was, I think it was jet toss, might have been just a jet handoff, going left to Sims, and then the 44-yard run by Henry to close that out. I just love that drive.
Yeah, it was a great drive. And what's going on in the later part of the season when you have to have a guy that can run block very well? The Ravens are running the football a lot in the last part of the season. So obviously a guy who can run block particularly well, like you said, Tylan Wallace did, and to be that target available for you as a wide receiver, it's just too enticing to pass up. So I'm not surprised that the Ravens brought him back. And I don't want to say high expectations, but I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he has maybe not a great season as far as volume is concerned, but I think he has some targets waiting for him this year because of the way the Ravens are constructed.
I hope that's true because, you know, spreading the football and having Lamar Jackson make plays all over the place, it made the offense different than it had been before in 24. It still was a great offense even before that. But any receiver who plays in Baltimore, they're just not going to get the football as much as they want. I'm not sure there's any football in the national. There's any wide receiver in the National Football League who says, yeah, I really got the fair share of targets this year. Probably every single one of them. It's kind of like asking people if they're underpaid or whatever. Everybody thinks they're underpaid. Every National Football League wide receiver thinks they should have more targets. And they want them and they need them for getting paid and whatnot. But the offense runs through Lamar Jackson. It's not about these wide receivers. And, you know, you want to play with Lamar Jackson. You want to get a chance to play in the postseason. You want to get a chance to get showcased in primetime. Obviously, you're going to have to be, you're going to have to check your diva outfit at the door. Deontay Johnson did not do that last year and it was a big problem. And, I'd even say Odell Beckham probably checked his at the door prior to 23, but after the season, the things he said, I'm not particularly happy about, in terms of you shouldn't have expected me to have this much yardage. Look at the offense. They're not targeting me. And they just don't throw the ball that much. The Ravens, the nature of the Ravens offense is they beat the living crap out of their opponents. This is a good team. You're always playing from a positive game script. And not only that, you're playing to distribute the football largely by extended play Lamar mechanics. So it's not going to work out for your typical wide receiver.
No, and you better understand that when you put on that jersey, you're not going to be the guy that's getting 13, 14 targets a game. It's just not that type of offense. If you want that, then, you know, go to a team like the Cincinnati Bengals.
Go play for Arizona.
Go to Arizona. Yeah. Go where you're not going to be in the postseason.
Yeah, there you go. That is the point.
Yeah.
We look at Wallace's yards per target career. Sorry, not yards per target, yards per route run. And it's a significant factor because he wasn't really part of the offense prior to 24. He had 0.53 yards per route run in his career before then. So that doesn't take into effect the running plays. It's just that's on when he's actually running a route. That ballooned up to 172 last year, and it did so because he had a magnificent per target year. In fact, the greatest of any Raven in team history at 16.1 yards per target, which the only players who've done better have done it in six or fewer targets. So actually might have been five or fewer targets. Anyway, five or six. One of them was Sammy Watkins, who caught a big ball against Jacksonville a few years ago among a really limited number of targets. He cannot possibly be expected to duplicate what happened last year. So if you're looking at his yardage total and you say, oh, he got 240 yards or whatever it was, then you're probably just kidding yourself. He's going to be a guy who I would think would come in short of that. If he does get to that level, it's going to be in a lot more targets, which is possible. Somebody could get hurt and he could take a bigger role, or maybe he's a bigger role in the offense on first down and they look to get him the football more. But I think more than likely his wide receiver, his receiving stats roll back a little bit, and that'll still be fine as long as he maintains his presence as a run blocker and special teams player.
Yeah, I don't think that it'll be a bad thing if his stats drop a little bit. I think the Ravens brought in another receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, the guy Wester, we just talked about him. So there's going to be fewer targets heading his way. But when he's available, is he making the most of his opportunities? You know, is he being that run blocker? That should be his MO. Be that run blocker, you know, have that confidence, have that, you know, acceptance for that skill that you have, because there's not many other receivers in the league that does it like he does. And in an offense that is really predicated on running the football, that is a very enticing skill set for coaching staffs to have for their wide receiver. So, yeah, I don't expect him to duplicate or even exceed his performance from last year. I think that was probably his career high in some aspects. But if he, continues to grow as a receiver, as well as continue to be that staple in the run game for this offense, that's good enough for me.
Let me peel back the onion on something you just said, because there aren't a lot of really good wide receiver run blockers. And if you knowing that Wallace finished fourth, Wallace did have a pretty good number of run blocking snaps, but the top wide receivers don't tend to be in that group. One guy who has been a poor run blocking wide receiver in recent years, but was very good early on in his career, is DeAndre Hopkins. He is a player that I am really looking for to bring leadership in the wide receiver room. And the best way he can do that is not by working with every receiver in terms of the receiving skills. He can certainly do that. That'll be expected. It's by being a really active participant in the run game and making sure that he's doing the right things, keeping his feet, pivoting, the things basically Wallace already does very well. Wallace doesn't need to learn from him, but everybody in the Ravens wide receiver room will benefit if Hopkins is leading by example in terms of his run blocking. Just very important. And the guy has all the tools. He's big enough. All the quickness you need to be a run blocker in level two and level three, DeAndre Hopkins still has. He has all the size you would need. Just needs to keep his feet, pivot, and want to do it, because it's a want-to role for a wide receiver.
And if he doesn't do it, he will not be on the field as much
as we were hoping.
Yeah. We cannot afford to have receivers that are not willing to be that selfless guy and take on those blocks, because it is going to be a lead by example approach, as you mentioned, for a guy like that. And I'm also pretty nervous about the aspect of having Hopkins on the field at the same time as Mark Andrews. They both have a very similar skill set. Well, I will say very similar objective when they're on the field. And who knows, it might be a situation where the Ravens might not want to have those two guys on the field at the same time nearly as often as some may think, very similar to Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman a few years ago, and when they're very too similar in the way they handle things on the field. And so that could be an opportunity again for a guy like Wallace, a guy like Wester, to get opportunities in the passing game. But yeah, to your point, I think that he needs to be that run blocker. He needs to be the guy setting the example. Yes, I have this pedigree. Yes, I'm likely a future Hall of Famer, but I need to be leading by example, saying that I'm not too good to be a run blocker. I need to be there taking on these blocks.
Yep, absolutely agree. Wouldn't be complete if we didn't talk about Wallace's special teams contributions, because they're huge, just in the same way that Lejonte Wester is going to be very important in terms of returning kickoffs. Wallace will be a very key guy in terms of covering kickoffs this year. He might be back there returning kickoffs as well, but he definitely has to cover them. And when he does, there'll be a lot more kicks returned this year, and there'll be a lot more need for tackles. He did have 10 tackles last year, which is good. Any expectation, by the way, missed tackles are much higher on special teams. You're in the open field always. You're usually trying to make a difficult tackle. You're often trying to really hurry a tackle before a punt returner, for example, can get reoriented to move upfield. And when you do that, you miss more tackles. But he had 10 tackles and 6 misses last year, which is fine. That's a pretty good relationship between the two. Had a good season as a special teams player. Did not have a great season in terms of the return game on punts. He had a few times where he muffed the ball or he didn't drift under it and it dropped. So I'm not really looking for Wallace to be anything but a backup in that regard. I guess it's possible if Wester has some hands issues and some muff issues that Wallace could be back as a more secure set of hands maybe. But I'm really not expecting Wallace to be a guy that they lean on in the punt return game.
No, and I think you hit the nail on the head. I think he's just a guy that can come in and fill the role if, again, Wester's having problems with his hands, having problems getting to that next level. They want somebody who's secure, somebody they know they can count on, which has pretty much been Tylan Wallace's MO since he's been a Raven. I think he might be in line to be perhaps potentially a captain in special teams potentially, mm-hmm. because he's just that presence, and he's just a great example of working hard, doing all the little things very well. And things often work out in your favor. But yeah, to your point, I don't expect him to be that return guy. I don't think that's an expectation, but they know they have him to lean on in case things don't work out with Wester.
Yeah, it's really, as far as the captain of special teams goes, I guess it's down to him or Jake Hummel this year.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Hummel will certainly, he probably will lead the team in special team snaps, but Wallace is critically important to 4 units. So we'll see how that works out for him. Let's move on and talk about what a good season is for Tylan Wallace. How do you see that?
Oh, man. I think a good season would be for him maybe to take a step, or obviously to take a step back in the return game, but to be a presence on special teams. Doesn't really have to do too much returning, but definitely be someone they can count on to both block for Wester and, you know, cover returns pretty well. I also want him to be rotational in the wide receiver room as far as being on the field, but he doesn't necessarily have to be that big play guy. We saw what he did against the Rams a couple of years ago as a returner, obviously, but also against the Bengals as a receiver. He doesn't need to be that big play guy, but just be dependable, be a run blocker. Nothing too crazy stats-wise that I have, but just be a dependable, fresh-leg guy for the Ravens offense.
I like yours a lot. I'd say continue to play a core special teams role at a high level. I don't think there'll be any problem with that. Run blocking gains are consolidated with another year in the top 15%. I'm not expecting him to duplicate his number 4 position with PFF and overall run blocking. I'm expecting, first of all, I want it qualitatively to be good, but I think he'll be in the top 15% of receivers because he's one of the guys who really wants to do that role. And that's just been one of the really exciting things. His per snap wide receiver contributions, I can't see anything but a fairly sharp dive. Still be present within this fresh legs offense, still get some targets, but whatever he gets, he's not going to produce at 16.1 yards per target again, because no one ever had before. I'd say that besides that he does enough for the Ravens this offseason to make it clear to him that they want to retain him as a survivor going forward. So maybe they sign him a little bit off a little bit of a quote-unquote down year. He'll have a good run blocking year. He'll have a good special teams year as a tackler. He won't have quite the receiving year. And they'll say, okay, we still love you, And it won't probably be quite in that voice, but we still love you. And we'd like to sign you for 2 years at a $600,000 premium to the vet minimum over that period, maybe a million premium over that period, but not quite the million over, I think it's actually about 800,000 over the vet minimum he's getting this year. It won't be quite as high as that. And then he'll truly take a step towards that lifetime Raven, Anthony Levine kind of a role. So anyway, I think that would be a good season for him. I think there's a 40% chance of that, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's perfectly sums up, I think, what they're hoping to get out of him. I think that would be fantastic. And I think he just screams Raven for me. I think of Tylan Wallace. I think of big playability and crucial moments out of nowhere. Just, you know, just a random guy making huge plays for the team because he loves to be a Raven. So I agree. That would be a pretty good season for him.
How about a great year?
Yeah, great. I am going off the cuff. I know a lot of people will disagree with this, but great season for me if he solidifies himself as the third wide receiver on this roster. I think that he has the potential to maybe make a huge step forward, depending on how his offseason went. But he gives me potential Ardarius Washington vibes. If things don't work too great with Hopkins and, you know, Wester and Tez Walker haven't taken that next step, then he might be a guy based on this play that pushes himself to be that third wide receiver, gets those targets, becomes a dependable route runner for the Ravens. And this is, again, high expectations for him. I don't think that's fair to assume he gets that, but I think that's, in my opinion, something he's probably pushing himself towards. So nothing different with special teams, still be that guy, but get those targets, maybe 40 to 45 targets, a few touchdowns, be that solid presence on the Ravens offense more so than he was last year.
You know, it's less of a extreme chance than how you describe it here. I think, you know, Hopkins, first of all, he's older. There's a greater chance of injury. There's always a chance something could go wrong with any of the quote unquote top three receivers currently. And then if you look at the Ravens, you know, their usage last year, he pretty much was the third wide receiver down the stretch. And Bateman and Flowers weren't consistently available in terms of their, you know, maintaining that high snap cap. But the guy who was in there at the end of the year and playing all those snaps was Wallace. So hopefully he'll be up to that if that is required of him. I just wrote this. In addition to core special teams role, no requirement that he be a return man, the team finds a new way to use him offensively, which increases his target share. And I'm thinking 25 to 35 targets would be in the 80th percentile for me, such that aggregate numbers can remain similar to his 2024 numbers, despite a reduction in per snap productivity. Run blocking continues at a high level, which is magnified by more total snaps. So if he could put a year together like that, where he's putting his basically three elements of contribution that he has, I would call that a great season for Tylan Wallace.
Yeah, that's very, I mean, of course, the bodacious claim of wide receiver three aside, that's very similar to what my brain has envisioned for him. It's something that he can definitely attain. And again, his run blocking is such acquired. Like, I'm sure the coaching staff is loving that from him. I think he's going to get those opportunities. Can he make the most of those opportunities? We'll see.
Yeah, for sure, the coaching staff loves that run blocking, and they've demonstrated it to him in terms of getting him on the field. Well, Sam, always great talking football with you. You talk about a couple of players I'm very excited about in terms of what they provide the 2025 Ravens. But tell the folks where they can talk football with you online or read your stuff.
Yeah, great. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ravens Talk Podcast. We're talking football all the time, getting ready for the upcoming season. Lots of great talent acquired by the Ravens throughout the draft, so we'll definitely talk about that. You can find us on the podcast realm at YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, where we talk about football throughout the season. And we're getting ready for mandatory mini camps and all of that good stuff. So be sure to stay tuned and check us out.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well. Other folks out there, I'll appeal for two things in terms of promoting the show that would be great. Number one is find that one person you think would like this show that might not be currently listening to it. Maybe he's in your office, maybe a older friend of yours who doesn't isn't familiar with how to download a podcast. There's a lot of people like that out there my age who don't know how to download a podcast. Help them get to it on the computer and just click the play button for them so they can listen to it themselves. Otherwise, if you got time, a 5-star 50-word review is always appreciated if you want to take the time for that. Sam, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it, it's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only. Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.